we're going to look at some verses that you're very familiar with in Ephesians chapter 6. Our pastor has been preaching some great messages from the book of Nehemiah, challenging us to be strong, be courageous, stand your ground. But tonight I want to try to just put an exclamation point on all that he's taught us in the past few Sundays, things that we've heard. Preaching's been a real blessing to my heart. It's been a joy to my soul to listen to him. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Now notice that. He never tells us anywhere to be strong in ourselves. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then He tells us to do something. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the cunning devices, the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not. We're in a battle, folk. If you haven't realized that, you're not living very close to the Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenlies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice that in verse 11 he says, put on the whole armor. Now in verse 13 he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Speaking tonight from these verses on this subject, learning to stand. We need to learn how to stand. It doesn't come automatically. It's something that you need to grasp to learn. These verses are speaking about spiritual warfare. Four different times, the believer is admonished to stand. Everything Paul says is focused on enabling us to stand against the onslaught of the devil. Would you agree with me that he's been coming on pretty strong? How are we doing in our standing? By the way, folk, it's nothing unspiritual about admitting sometimes your vulnerabilities, our weaknesses. Nothing unspiritual about saying, "Lord, I want to stand, but I'm having a difficult time." We need His enablement. He says, be strong in the Lord. Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Standing doesn't seem very militaristic here. And in fact, it sounds rather passive. Why doesn't he tell us to be more aggressive? Why doesn't he tell us to prepare ourselves to advance. He doesn't tell us that. He tells us to stand. When I think about standing as a believer, I think about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image made of gold. When the music started, there were literally thousands in the plain of Dura bowing down to that image made of gold. There are three boys. They weren't protesting. They weren't trying to get even with anybody. They weren't arguing with those around them. All they did was stand. They stood. And they'd stand out like a sore thumb. With thousands bowing, three Hebrew boys said, "We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. And we're not going to burn. We'll come out victorious on the other side." You see, the command to stand should be taken seriously because we are engaged in a life and death struggle against all that is evil in this world. And friend, there's a lot of evil in this world. And though there's much in our government, it isn't all in our government. There's much evil in this world. You see, the word stand, the reason Paul, I believe, uses this word, it's the only word that describes the attitude that we must have to ensure us of victory. We must stand on what's right. Now, I want you to notice something. Three things I want you to see, because the word stand touches on three aspects of the struggle of life. There's the circumstances of the battle, the character of the battle, and then the conquest of the battle. Let's notice, first of all, the circumstances of the battle. The use of the word stand reveals to us the intensity of the struggle in which we are involved. That's seen in the words in verse 13, the evil day. The intensity of the struggle is seen in those words. The evil day. Now, all of life does not consist of evil days. Some days are better than others. But evil days do come. There are days when circumstances simply stagger us, when we face some disheartening tragedy or circumstance, that it almost knocks us off our feet. And we could do nothing else but determine to stand right where we are. That's all we're able to do. You see, there are times in life when we find ourselves overwhelmed by circumstances, by fears, doubt, and worry, and they're so great that we can scarcely keep our heads because of the pressure. I think we've seen much of that in the last 2 years. There's circumstances that have been so difficult for us to even take our stand like we should. There are times when indifference seems to zap our spiritual strength so that we lose all our vitality. It drains our motivation. It drains our will to act. And we seem unable to make ourselves do the simplest things to maintain and to live out our faith. I think this is one of the reasons why it is so difficult for believers to reinvent themselves after all that we've been going through, to get back into the battle and start standing for God again. Sometimes the situation is so bad that we can do anything but stand our ground. And all we're trying to do is just stay on our feet. Not get knocked down any further than what we already are. There are times in the battle when a soldier can do no more than to simply protect himself and hold his ground. And really, this is what this word implies to us. Not giving up an inch to the devil. You give the devil an inch, he'll become a ruler. Don't give him one inch in your life. You see, Paul says in these verses that we're to surround ourselves with a belt of truth. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray. And having done all, we are to stand. You know, putting on the armor and praying will not necessarily change the circumstances. We've experienced some of that. I have prayed for the last 3 years, Lord, increase my energy, restore my breathing, if it be your will. If it isn't and you still want me to stand and preach, just enable me to do whatever you want me to. And sometimes that's all you can do is just stand. You see, God will not always end the battle or remove us from the struggle. Sometimes we just have to persevere and withstand the onslaught. That's why I think he tells us to be strong in the Lord. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. So we stand. We hold our ground. We refuse to yield. If we remain immovable, if we resist the onslaught and hold our ground, the devil will eventually flee from us. It bothers me when I hear mature Christians saying, the devil's really giving me a fit. You say, why does it bother you? Well, how much resisting are you doing? The Bible says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. How do you resist the devil? With the word of truth and the name of Jesus Christ. He has no right to your life. You belong to another. You've been bought with the blood. Look the devil eyeball to eyeball. Say, leave me alone. You have no right to my mind or my body. I belong to another. But most of the time, rather than resist, we yield. We give in. And folks will say, he's given me a hard time. But keep in mind, that's what his goal is. Why do you think he's going to leave you alone? Never leaves anybody else alone. He's always going to be there. And so there's the circumstances of the battle. Sometimes the battle is raging so heavily, all we can do is just stand our ground. Just stay there. But then note the character of the battle. You see, the act of standing implies primarily a defensive action. Ours is a defensive battle. You know, we've been told that the best defense is a good offense. We're not out to take new ground. We're to defend that which is already ours. The offensive battle was won at Calvary 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has power to take the offense in this battle with the prince of darkness. And he has already done that through his vicarious death and his victorious resurrection. We've already got the victory. Shout and rejoice because you have it. Instead of sitting around and mumbling about how difficult it is. You see, all that we need as soldiers of the cross is what he has already been, what's already been given to us. We don't need to fight for it. You don't have to battle to be saved. You don't have to fight to be justified or struggle to be forgiven or wrestle to be accepted in the family of God. We're already justified. We've been forgiven. We're members of the family. He is our Heavenly Father. All of these are given to us already. You see, they were won by another. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, who spoiled, that word means disarmed, principalities, powers, and authorities is the meaning of the word. And he made a show of them openly. He made an open spectacle of the devil and the cohorts of hell, triumphing over them by the cross. So he's won the victory for us at Calvary and passed it on to us. He's already won the battle, launching his offensive from an old rugged wooden cross. So now, it's up to us to stand the ground that he has gained on our behalf, to use the armor he has given us to fully enjoy and experience the new life that is ours. You don't have to go around with your chin on your chest saying, you know, I'm just a poor old Christian. Who told you that? You won't find it in the Bible. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, but he became poor for our sakes, that we might be rich. You don't hear me singing, I'm a poor wayfaring pilgrim, because I'm not. I'm a child of the King. I've never read about a king's son going on the internet and having a GoFundMe a need. No. But many Christians walk around like they're, you know, just worried to death about everything. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you haven't repented of it, you need to. Worry is sin. Most Baptists I know worry more than a termite in a yo-yo. Three words would summarize this modern generation. Hurry, worry, bury. I want you to raise your hand if you've done this. Preacher, I sat up all night, and I worried, and sure enough, what I was worrying about changed. Raise your hand if that happened. No, it didn't change because you worried, because worrying don't ever change anything. The old black preacher said, I read where my Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. Ain't no need both of us sitting up all night. You see, the enemy fights to keep us ignorant of the resources that we have so that we will not rely on them and use them to the fullest, because that's where the battle lines are. Our resources is all that heaven has to offer. And my friend, he owns it all. The Christian who learns to stand, clad only in the full armor of God, energized and empowered by prayer, his feet planted and immovable, is the only one who can truly affect this world. Let me say that again. The Christian who learns to stand, clad only in the full armor of God, energized and empowered by prayer, his feet planted and immovable, is the only one who can truly affect the world. How are you doing in your testimony of those in the world around you? He is the only one who can reflect the love of God in the midst of unlovely situations. Now, we do not need to take new territory. The truth of the matter is, we can't. The full victory has already been accomplished and given to us. We're to hold on to that which God gives us and not let any of it be lost or taken from us. The Bible tells us in Jude verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Now, to contend for the faith does not mean to attack everyone who doesn't agree with you. By the way, preacher, if you and I agreed on everything, one of us is unnecessary. No, it means to hold on to what God has already given you and use it to the fullest. Do not surrender an inch of ground. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. The word quit has the idea of maturity, being a mature Christian, a mature child of God. In the old Tennessee way of giving the definition of that word is, put your big boy britches on and take a stand. Quit weeping and whining about everything. I guess that was one of my pet peeves. As a pastor, I couldn't handle the whiners. So when I let them know about it, I didn't have too many coming around whining. They went somewhere else and whined. You see, the purpose of the battle is to make us a better soldier of the cross. And that is precisely the kind of person Christ makes us when we follow him, when we put on the whole armor of God. And the battle is to show it. It's to reveal it, to manifest what we are. So put on the whole armor of God. That means all that Christ is. Put it on. And then pray, he says. And having done all, stand your ground. Don't be moved. You notice, preaching, teaching, witnessing, all of these things are the spoils of the battle for the believer. They're the blessings that God bestows upon the Christian that involves himself in the ministries. But he says, pray with all perseverance and all the saints. Now there is where the battle is won or lost, in your prayer closet. Get alone with God and turn everything over to him. That's why he brings in the matter of praying. But let's look at a third thing about this battle of learning to stand, rather. Note the conquest of the battle. There's a third truth indicated by the word stand, and that is certainty of victory. When we're tempted to yield our ground, we should look to the cross. In the cross, all that Satan had risked, everything that he risked was destroyed, and the power of Jesus Christ disarmed the devil and his angels. Why be afraid of someone that's already defeated? The devil still works his horrible mischief in the world. Oh, yes. He still sends sickness and darkness and suffering. But think about this. God takes all that misery and that horror that Satan inflicts, and he uses it in our lives to strengthen us, to bless us, to teach us, to enlarge us, and to give us a vibrant ministry in this world. God takes all that the devil throws at you and blesses you with it. Whatever our battles are skirmishes with the devil, whatever wounds we may suffer in this noble fight, God gives us the ultimate victory. And one of these days, the struggle will be over, and for some, it will be written of them, as is recorded in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. By the way, don't read that until the death. Unto the death. In other words, they were willing to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ. Folks, the great issue of life is not how much money we make or how much of a name we make for ourselves. I see this in my early ministry, years in the ministry. I got so, I don't know the word to use, but it bothered me every time you get around a group of preachers. There would always be one or two of them that was trying to elevate themselves above everybody else. One told me one time, said, "Preacher, you need to upgrade your vehicle." I had four kids in Christian college, in Christian school. My priority was on my family. And I said, "Why do I need to upgrade my vehicle? It gets me everywhere I want to go." He said, "Well, you're not making a very good impression as an evangelist." I said, "Well, I need to let you know something right now. I'm not trying to impress anybody." Isn't it amazing how people will buy things they can't afford to impress people they don't like? Stop trying to impress anyone. Just be who you are, a child of God, serving Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to march against the devil. You do what you want to, believe what you want about this, but I'm not one on protest and things like carrying banners and all this kind of stuff. I don't need to do that. I can take my stand without doing that. And we don't have to march against the devil. We don't have to charge against the enemy. All that we have to do is to assume the unassailable, invincible, infallible posture. And that's stand. Christ has already won the war in which we fight. The war was over the moment He shouted from the cross, "It is finished." The war with Christ and Satan is over, and he is a defeated foe. We have put on the whole armor of God. We have planted our feet. Though the enemy is attacking, we are not afraid, for the battle has already been won. Having done all to stand, stand. Let me close with this simple illustration. The game of football is a warfare with rules. I love football. When I was in high school, I played football. We played smash mouth football. And we played on muddy fields in storm and rains. Didn't play on carpet like they do today. Or in the inside under in a dome. We was out there with the mud and all the other stuff. How many of you remember Coach Harry Fry? He was a motivator and a manipulator. Great man. I loved him. We played so well on a muddy field. No matter how muddy it was, the better we played. We moved them around. We beat the teams that were bigger than us. Well, one team was coming to town over to Gate City. Of course, all that field was a very little grass on it. He brought the fire department out, had them water the field down. Penny and Gap back in then, now it's Lee, I think, but Penny and Gap High School. Some of the fellas going off the field said, "Well, you almost had a lot of rain over here." I said, "Yeah, I came a pretty good one." No, he just brought them out, had them water the field because we played better in the mud than any other way. But the game of football is a warfare with rules. It's a game in which the contestants must put on the full armor, the helmet, the pads, the shoes, which enable them to do well and defend against the enemy. One of the most exciting things in a football game is a determined goal line defense, where the defenders simply line up on the scrimmage line against the opposing team and refuse to budge. They make a stand. They refuse to yield their ground. And there's nothing that takes the starch out of a football team's offense like getting stopped cold for four consecutive downs at the opponent's one-yard line. And that's what it means to stand. In spiritual warfare, it's crucial that we learn how to make a stand and refuse to yield our ground, which Jesus Christ has already gained at Calvary. Put on the whole armor of God. I want to ask you to bow your heads for a few moments. In the quietness of this hour, there where you sit, let's let the Lord examine our hearts and have an open, honest evaluation of our lives right now. Am I really taking a stand of all that's evil in our day? The homosexuality agenda, the liquor and beer industry, the same-sex marriage crowd. Do I yield and give in to it because it's maybe some in the family that leans that way? Whatever it is, say, "Lord, help me to be strong. Give me that enablement to stand my ground when those around me are yielding and the evil day is all around us, seen in the lives of many that we know that we live beside and work with and go to school with and whatever. Right there where you are, just whisper a prayer and say, Lord, I need your help. Never be embarrassed to admit that you've got a need, that you're weak in some areas. God knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. Say, Lord, I need you today. I'm having a difficult time confronting my neighbor with something I know that is wrong, and I need to confront him with it. Give me the words to say and help me to be a testimony of your salvation to him. Whatever it is, right now, our Father, if there is a need in the church today, and there are many, but I believe that one of the most significant ones is for God's people to stand their ground, quit giving up, quit yielding to the devil, quit going along with the crowd, quit saying, well, I don't do that myself, but it's okay for them if that's what they want. No, no, that's the wrong attitude for the believer. Help us, our Father, to take our stand against that which is wrong in our society, against that which is bringing evil and heartache and ruin to the homes and the lives of countless others. Teach us, dear Lord, to be strong and to take our stand against it. Thank you for a church that preaches the unsearchable riches of God's grace and takes a stand against sin and all the wickedness of our society today. Help us never to give up or never to give in. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.